number of times to have a representative from the Gideons with us this morning. That's an organization that we appreciate because of their emphasis on the Word of God and its power. So we have the opportunity this morning to hear something of that ministry again, and we're thankful for that opportunity. Thank you.
Set up here and we'll be ready to go. If I can figure this out. Okay. I think I got it. Okay. Well, it's good to be with you folks representing the Gideons International. And I'd like to thank each of you for the opportunity to come and be part of your Sunday school class this morning. And I'd like to share with you a little bit about what the Gideons do on a mission trip. We do have ministries in 200 countries around the world, and we print the Word of God in 100 different languages. And Gideons from all over the world go on these mission trips that we might distribute the Word of God to people everywhere. But before we do that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to your house this morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for what you've done for us on the cross. And we pray that the things that are said and done here this morning would bring honor and glory to your name. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2014, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Mexico. And we went with 22 other Gideons. We had a Gideons from Taiwan. We had Gideons from Finland, Gideons from Australia, United Kingdom, and all the rest of them for various parts of the United States. We were also joined by the Gideons of Mexico, and they were invaluable in helping with the scripture distribution. They provided us with a person that spoke Spanish and English so we could communicate with the people that we were distributing the scriptures to. They also made sure that the scriptures were ready to go every morning to the various points of distribution. Now, Mexico is a country of around 127 million people. And in the Monterrey area, where we were the first week, there's around 6 million people live in the Monterrey area. And in the Guadalajara area, where we're the second week, there's around 8 million people that live there. So with the millions of people that are in Mexico, and in those particular cities, there was a lot of people there that needed to know Christ as their personal Savior. And it's like it says in where it says, look to the fields, for they are already white with harvest. The fields were white with harvest. There was a lot of people there that needed to know Christ as their personal Savior. He had to have a copy of the Word of God. Now, if you wanted to give a copy of the Word of God to someone, it'd be good if you could say something to them. And there were only two people in our group that spoke Spanish. All the rest of us were encouraged to say, un regalo, which meant a gift. And this was the greatest gift that was given to the people of Mexico. Well, you see, this testament has the plan of salvation in the back, its helps in the front. And it starts out with the plan of salvation in the back with God loves you. And cites John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever thought about that verse? You know, why would God do such a thing? Why would he send his only Son from the splendor of heaven to come to this world to be ridiculed, spit upon, crown of thorns placed on his head, and die such a horrible death on the cross? Why would he do that? Well, it cites Romans 5:8, where it says, but God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's because of sin. That's why Christ died on the cross. And the Bible says that no sin will ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in order for you and I to get to heaven, for anybody to get to heaven, there had to be some kind of a remedy for sin. There had to be a way that we could have our sins forgiven. And that's why Christ died on the cross. Well, who are these sinners anyway? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's not one righteous, no, not one. Now that pretty much narrows it down. There's not one person on the face of the earth that doesn't need to know Christ as their personal Savior. They need to have the blood of Christ applied to their lives. Well, what are the results of sin? It cites Romans 6:23, where it says, "But God." 6:23, where it says, "But the wages of sin is death." Do you know what that means? That is eternal separation from God. Never to enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for those that love Him. Never to be part of the family of God, but to be doomed for eternity in hell forever and ever. That's what that means. But the second portion of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's what salvation is. It is the gift of God. It's free. And you know, you have to receive a gift. It says in John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Not only can we have our sins forgiven, but we are King's kids. We are part of the family of God. We can have enjoy the blessings that God prepared for those that love Him. We can have a home in heaven for Him when we pass from this world. And you know, the Holy Spirit is continually calling us. He's saying, "Won't you come? Won't you accept this free gift of salvation that I've given you?" The Little Testament cites Revelation 3:20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in unto him." And you know, there's a song that says, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." He's calling for you. He's calling for me. He said, "Won't you come? Won't you be part of my family? Won't you accept my free gift of salvation?" And in Romans 3:10-13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We have to call on His name. We have to ask for this gift. So if you went through the plan of salvation in the back of the testament and you decided, you know, "I am a sinner. I need to know Christ as my personal Savior," and you give your life to Christ, there's a place on the next page where you can sign this testament and say, "I have committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the Gideons realize that signing a testament doesn't make a person a Christian any more than parking a wheelbarrow in a garage makes it a car. However, when the Holy Spirit speaks to a person and they come to the realization that, yes, I am a sinner, I need to know Christ as my Savior, and they sincerely repent of their sins and believe that Christ died on the cross and that He was buried, and the third day He rose again, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Then it's like it says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, that's a message that everyone in the entire world should hear, and that is the message that was given to the people of Mexico. We started our church services on Sunday. We had church services on Sunday, and we did not go to this particular church. This happens to be a Catholic church, and you can see that it's quite elaborate. And 87% of the people in Mexico are of the Catholic faith. It's the reason they can afford a church that looks like this one. They also have some very extreme customs. For example, this young man was crawling on his knees to the chapel. His trousers were torn, his knees were bleeding, and he was doing this in the form of penance. That is, payment for sins. Now, apparently he was not aware of what it says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where it says, "Through faith are we saved, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Jesus paid it all. He paid for the sins of the world. And to think that you or I could do something to pay for our sins is ludicrous, and it's an insult to God. God is the only one that can forgive sins, and Jesus Christ is the only acceptable sacrifice for sins. Now, while this young man was crawling on his knees to the chapel, one of the Gideons had the opportunity to share the gospel with his wife, Jacqueline. And he asked her if she understood what she read in the back of that testament, and she said she did. She signed the testament and said, "I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior." And we need to pray that she can convey that message to her husband, that Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt that you and I could never pay. Now, the Protestant churches are not as elaborate as the Catholic churches. They had a lot of prayer time. Their services lasted about 3.5 hours. They had a lot of singing, and sometimes their services were quite lively. I had the opportunity to speak in this particular church, and after the service, Dr. Carlos Mendoza and his wife came up and they said, "Thank you for coming to the church here, to coming to Mexico to provide scriptures for people." He was an individual that knew the value of the Word of God, and he wanted to see that the people of Mexico received a copy of the Word of God that they might know what Christ did for them on the cross. Now, we started our scripture distribution on Monday morning at 5:30 every morning with prayer and devotions. And by 6 o'clock, we were down at the vehicles that were already loaded and ready to go to the various points of distribution. And there was a gentleman down there that was watching the Gideons load up the vehicles. And he said, he said, 20 years ago, one of those testaments saved my life. We also had a bit of a send-off from Facebook people. And you've probably heard of Facebook and maybe some of your own Facebook. But someone posted on Facebook, they said, the Gideons are here passing out testaments. You better take, and the end of the world must be near. You better take one of these testaments. So with that send-off, I had the opportunity to work with the auxiliary. Now, the auxiliary are the wives of the Gideons, and they form an association for prayer and for personal witnessing, and they're solely responsible for the medical testament ministry. So we went to this hospital called Metropolitan Hospital, and you can see that the Gideon ladies there are passing out the white hospital testaments, or medical testaments, to the staff there, to the people that work there. We also had the opportunity to go to the various rooms, and you can see that we were all wearing masks, but there are a lot of sick people in these hospitals. Of course, that's where sick people go. Nevertheless, we did have the opportunity to go to the various rooms and pass out the hospital testaments. And some of the people that were in the beds wanted to read the testament right away, so we gave it to them and allowed them to read the testament. And then they would put it on the nightstand. We placed them on the nightstand so that every person that would come into that hospital would have the opportunity to read the Word of God. So we left Metropolitan Hospital and we went to another hospital. This was University Hospital. This was a very large hospital, and we had permission to do a distribution there, but when we started out, one of the policemen came and said, you can't do a distribution here. You're going to have to leave. Even though we had the permission, and they would do that occasionally, and it happened frequently when we went to the schools. We'd get to the schools about 6:30 in the morning, and we'd be passing out testaments, and about the time all the kids got into the school, someone would come out and say, you can't distribute testaments here at this school. And we'd already given all the testaments that we had there to the students that were going into the school. The Lord worked it out that we were able to give them a copy of the Word of God. When you're doing the work of the Lord, He's always there to help you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He's always there. So we thank them for that opportunity. We also did distributions in the various schools. And you say, well, this school doesn't really look like a school here in the United States. And you can see that there is a steel door there, and there's a steel fence around this school. And if you wanted to get into this school, you had to have an ID card so that when you come to the school, if you look real close, there's a person behind that revolving door. You had to show him your ID and he would allow you to go in. Consequently, the Gideons had to be off the sidewalk to distribute the Word of God. So when the students would come by, we'd say the magic word, un regalo, and give them a copy of the Word of God. You say, well, what did they do with these testaments? Well, a lot of those students took the time to sit down and read those testaments. You could see that the persons there are reading the Word of God. And the gentleman and the lady in the top photograph there, they were reading the Word of God also. And this young man had just accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And he's sharing the gospel with his girlfriend. So with the opportunity to be able to give people a copy of the Word of God and share the gospel with them, there was a lot of people came to know Christ as their personal Savior and signed the testaments. Now you can see that these young people here signed the testament. The young lady in the top photograph, she signed the testament saying, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And so did the gentleman in the lower corner, and the ladies did as well. And take notice that they're all smiling. So, well, of course they're smiling. They just got their picture taken. Well, that may be so. But it may be also that they were rejoicing because they received a copy of the Word of God. You remember in Acts, the 8th chapter, how that Philip came upon an Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the Word of God? He was reading from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, where it talked about Christ suffering, about him going to the cross. And Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading. And the eunuch said, no, he didn't understand. And the Bible says that Philip preached to him Jesus Christ. He shared the gospel with this guy, and apparently he came to know Christ as his personal Savior, because later on it says that they found some water and this guy was baptized. And in the 39th verse, it says that the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. And you know, that's what happens when Christ comes into a person's life. That burden of sin is lifted, and we can enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for those that love us, and we can have His forgiveness in our lives. And so we have a lot to rejoice and a lot to be thankful for. So I think, well, maybe these young people were rejoicing because they had came to know Christ as their personal Savior, and they might have been smiling also because they got their picture taken. But I know there was one young lady in particular. She was rejoicing because she had her life, she gave her life to Christ, and she wrote a letter to the Gideons, and she said so. She said, "Dear Mister, excuse my English, but I don't know too much about it. Said, my name is Ashley. I have to thank you for the Bible you gave me. It's amazing to know that I am a Christian, and I have brothers all around the world, and I know it's hardy to watch society going down more each time. But Jesus has our salvation. In Him, we have hope, we have love, and I know someday He will come for us and take us with Him, but we have to be patient and faithful to Him. God bless you always, Ashley Martinez." You know, what a blessing for Gideon's to receive a letter like that from a young lady that accepted Christ as her personal Savior. But you know, it's even more of a blessing to that young lady that received a copy of the Word of God and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Psalms 107:2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And this young lady said so. Now, we also did various colleges and universities. At this particular university, we distributed somewhere around 3,500 copies of the Word of God. And when the students would come by, we would give them a copy of the Word of God. And I know there was one young man in particular. He came and he said, "Well, who are you people anyway?" I said, "Well, we're the Gideons International, and we go all over the world giving out the Word of God free of charge." And he said, "Well, why do you do that?" Well, so I went to the back of the Testament, and I showed him John 3:16, that for God so loved the world. And I wanted to share some other scriptures with him, but he was kind of late for class, and he had to go, so he took the Testament and went on his way. Shortly thereafter, there was another young man come up to me, and he asked me the very same question. And as I showed him John 3:16 in the back of the Testament, he took his Testament, and tears came in his eyes as he took the Testament and went on his way. Now, at this same university, there was a vendor there by the name of Cesar Lopez, and he sold food to the kids when they were on break and when they would come to and from class. And he was excited that we were there. You can see he's giving me the thumbs up, and he said, and he spoke broken English. He said to me, he said, "I help you pass out these testaments." He took some of the testaments, he started giving them to the kids, and pretty soon he started bringing kids over to me and said, "Give them a testament." So I gave him a testament. He brought another kid over. He said, "This one's bad. He says he has a devil. He says he's on drugs." He said, "Give him a testament." So I gave him a testament. I showed him the plan of salvation in the back. Brought another kid over. He said, "This one's the same as the last one. Give him a copy of the Word of God." So I gave him a copy and showed him the plan of salvation in the back. Sent another kid over. He says, "Give him a testament." So I gave him one. He says, "Give him three more." This kid wanted to have testaments for his family. So I gave him three more testaments, and he went on his way. And you know, I think a lot of us could be a little more diligent like Cesar Lopez. He was an individual that knew all these kids, and he wanted to make sure that they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to have a copy of the Word of God. And sometimes I think that perhaps we could do better in witnessing to people and let them know what Christ did for them on the cross. It's the most important thing in life, to have your sins washed beneath the blood of Christ. This was another college or university, and the gentleman's name there was Bob Burt. At one time, he was a missionary to Mexico City, and he was speaking to a young man, and this gentleman happened to be, he said he was a very radical kid. He wore a t-shirt that had slogans on it, and they were from Castro, and he said he had Castro's right-hand man on there. Bob said, "You know," he said, "I'm going to hurry through this presentation so this radical kid can be on his way." And he said, "When I talked about the love of God," he said, he was listening. He says, "When I talked about sin," he shared with us how some of the sins that he had committed. Bob said, "But I thought, you know, when it comes time for him to make a decision as to Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be out of here. But not Jose. When it comes time for him to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed a sinner's prayer and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus." And he used one of the verses in the Testament, in Revelation 3:20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, the Holy Spirit knocked on Jose's heart door, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bob said, I was dumbfounded. He said, in fact, he said, I was just plain dumb. He said, I was looking on the outside of this individual, and the Lord Jesus was looking on his heart. He says, you know, you and I have no ability to save people, but you know the Lord Jesus Christ has that ability. We are here to make a witness to people, let them know what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross, and let him do the business of saving people. It's his job, and it's our job to let people know what Christ did for them. We passed out testaments in the park. There were a lot of nice parks there. People took testaments in there. We passed out testaments where people were taking a break. We passed out testaments in the rain. One day it was raining down there, and we were passing out the Word of God. We passed out testaments on Valentine's Day. There was a man by the name of Martin. He was a person that had some one of those stands along the street there, and he sold knickknacks to people. And the Gideons stopped there, and they shared the gospel with him, and he said that he was very sad on Valentine's Day. He said his wife just left him, and he said he was diagnosed with a very serious disease. And he said, these things caused me to think about God. Gideon said, you know, he said, and God is thinking about you. He said, died on the cross that you might have your sins forgiven. And there, Martin accepted the love of Jesus Christ in his life. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus. In Mexico, you cannot drink the water. However, I stopped at one of these OXXO stores. It was like a 7-Eleven store. There were a lot of these and a lot of 7-Eleven stores. And I went in to get some water. And when I got inside, there was a policeman standing there with a 12-gauge shotgun at the ready. So I offered him a testament, and he took it. And in Mexico, there was a lot of police officers there. And the crime rate down there is horrendous with the drugs and everything like that. And so we did have the opportunity to go to police departments and provide scriptures for people. And you know, in Mexico, around 250 people are kidnapped every day. And one of those people was Eduardo Resentes. Eduardo was one of the Gideons that helped us out in the Monterey area to do scripture distributions. And he and his boss were going to a different state in Mexico, and one of the drug cartel people pulled him over. They mistook him for a rival drug cartel person. And they put a blindfold on Eduardo and his boss, and they took him to what he called an undisclosed location. And he said it took about a half hour to get there, and he said, you know, he said, I experienced the peace of God while we were going there. And he said, when they got there, they started to question us. He said, they questioned us for about 2 hours. He said, they used very abusive and strong language, and we weren't able to ask any of their questions. And so after about 2 hours of questioning, he said, they put a gun to their head, and they said they were going to kill him. And Eduardo said, at that time, the Lord told me to speak. And he said, you know, he said, you do not have control of my life. Said, the Lord Jesus has control of my life, and he will take me out of here safely that I can continue in the ministry of the Lord. And Eduardo said, you know, he said, from that time on, he said, they became very docile. They calmed down. They weren't using strong and abusive language. And Eduardo continued. He said, and I just started passing out the Word of God. He said, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ will take me out of here so I can complete my mission. And he said, I will never forget the next words out of that cartel boss's mouth. He said, and that shall be done. So they took the blindfolds off of them. They gave them all their belongings back, and they took them back to their vehicle. Eduardo had a testament with him, so he gave it to the cartel boss. Cartel boss thanked him, and he said, I heard about God. He said, now, he said, I will read about God. Eduardo said, that testimony is not over until all those cartel members come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And he left us with this scripture, Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you know, Eduardo was walking in the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had designed for him to do. And we need to do the same thing. And you know, the Lord is always with him. He was with Eduardo. He spared his life, and he continued to allow him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the last places we went in Mexico was a prison in Guadalajara. This was a very large prison. It was home of around 13,000 prisoners. And we went in, and we were allowed to, said we had permission to go into all the rooms under the cells and give people a copy of the Word of God. But when we got there, they said, no, you can't do that. So we got together and we had a short prayer meeting. And about a minute later, someone came out with a piece of paper and said, sign this paper. So we signed the paper, and about a minute later, they allowed us to go into the courtyard. Now, the courtyard was a very nice place. It had music. They had green grass there, sidewalks, and it was a place where people could come and visit with their people that were incarcerated. And we passed out several hundred testaments there in the courtyard, but we had 13,000 testaments to give to these prisoners. So we had the opportunity to talk to the chaplain, and the chaplain said, well, you know, he said he could do this distribution. And in fact, he was excited about having all these scriptures. And we need to pray that that scripture distribution took place and that the seed of the word of God was sowed in the lives of these prisoners, and they gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we sowed the seed of the word of God in Mexico. And it's like it says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, it says, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But not all the seed that was sown in Mexico fell on good ground. There was one young man that received a testament, and he tore it up and he scattered it all over the ground. Now, why God allowed that young man to rip that testament to bits is beyond me. But there was a lot of people in that area, and perhaps there was someone there that needed to have a copy, a page out of that scripture, or a scripture verse. You all heard it, how that the Gideons would pass out testaments already, like at colleges, and someone would take the testament and throw it in the trash, and someone would come along and pick it out of the trash and read it and give their life to Christ. And there sometimes if people like were in prison, they rolled cigarettes through the papers and come to know Christ as their personal Savior as well. But one thing for sure, you know, you can take the Word of God, you can tear it up in little pieces, you can bury it, you can throw it in the ocean, you can do whatever you want to do to try to rip the Word of God to pieces. But you know, you'll never destroy God's Word. It says in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. And the Word of God is powerful. It says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look, the Word of God can look into our innermost being and see what's inside of us. The Word of God can convict us of sin. The Word of God can meet our spiritual needs. And that's what happened in Mexico. We distributed it somewhere around 276,595 testaments. We had 46 people that signed the testament said they gave their life to Christ. We had 36 church services. And I'm sure that there was a lot more people that came to know Christ as a result of this particular distribution. So was it important that we went to Mexico to distribute the Word of God? I think it was. Celia Barocio thought it was. Her and her sister were very successful singers in Mexico. And they would go all over the state of Mexico, all over the states in Mexico, and actually in different countries as well. And they would stay in motels. And when they stayed in the motels, there was Gideon Bibles there. And Sia took one of these Bibles and she put it in her suitcase. She stole this Bible. And she said she wanted something to read when she would go on these concerts and when she'd be flying on the plane. And apparently her mother had come to know Christ as well. And she happened to be home at that time when there was a missionary came to their house. And he was telling his mother about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could see that Celia was interested in what was being said. She said she understood some of the things that he was saying because she read them in the Bible. And this guy asked her, he said, would you like to become a Christian? And she said, I almost cried no. She said, I sing to the world. And he said, if I become a Christian, I have to leave the world behind me. And he said, I can't become a Christian. Well, a couple days later, she was on one of her concerts, and she was reading in Mark 8:36, where it says, for what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And she said, I thought about that. And says, what good is all this fame and fortune? And said, when I die, I'm going to go to hell. So the Holy Spirit was dealing with Celia. And she had, shortly thereafter, she had a concert in Veracruz. And there were other female singers there as well. And one of the female singers asked her and her sister to have dinner with them. And she happened to be a lesbian. And so they had dinner, and they were talking about other female singers that were at this concert. And they said, well, this lady said, well, you know, she said, all of them are lesbians. And she said, and then she saw that Celia was quite upset about this. And she said, you know, she said, in a year or two, she said, you'll be just like the rest of us, and you'll think that it's normal. Celia thought in her heart, she said, you know, I was terrified to think that I was part of such an evil organization. And she said, that time on, she said that she was going to give her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But she didn't do it at that time. And she also had some personal problems. She was single. She was had a child, and she didn't know Christ as her personal Savior. And she had just finished a concert in Houston, Texas. She got on the plane, and the plane started to take off, and she became very anxious. She said she thought the plane was going to drop into what she called the abyss. And she thought about the Bible that she had there with her. She picked out her Bible, and she read in Acts 3:19 where it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. She said, I knew what I needed to do on that plane. And she said, I asked God's forgiveness and apologized for all the sins that I'd committed. And she said, the Lord said, if you want me out of this singing business, you're going to have to help me. Because she had concerts lined up for 2 years, and her sister Teresa wasn't a Christian as well. She said within 2 weeks, all her promoters called and canceled all of her services. And today, she is married to a pastor. She has a son, and she continues to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the wherever she goes. Eduardo, so she thought it was important that we were in Mexico passing out the word of God. Eduardo, he thought it was important that we were there passing out the word of God as well. He nearly lost his life, but he was right out there on the front lines distributing the word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was with him and helping him to do that. There's the tallest guy there in this photograph. His name was Javier Garcia. And he thought it was important that we were there as well. He was asked to be the scripture chairman for Mexico. He was a Gideon, and he said, no, he said he really couldn't do that. And the Gideon said, well, why can't you do that? He said, well, he said, I have three businesses, he said, and I'm really important. I'm really busy. He said, all three of these businesses burnt to the ground. So he thought, well, you know, maybe I do have time to do this job. So he thought it was important that we were there passing out the word of God as well. These children, they were excited that they received a copy of the word of God. But you know, even more important, the Lord Jesus Christ thought it was important that we were there passing out the word of God. He's the one that said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, perhaps you think it's important that people go all over the world passing out the word of God, that people would have a copy of the word of God, that they might know what Christ did for them on the cross. And if you do, there are ways that you can help. Number one, you can pray for the Gideons. It says in James 5:16 that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you remember the good King Hezekiah, how the Lord told him that he had better get his house in order because he was going to be checking out? Well, the Bible says Hezekiah prayed, and the Lord added 15 years for his life. You know, God is in the business of answering prayer. Therefore, we covet your prayers on behalf of the ministry. You can also help with your financial contributions. All the finances that are given to the Gideons goes for printing and distributing the word of God. And I missed a spot here. another way that you can help is through becoming a Gideon. If you're interested in becoming a Gideon, if you see me after the service, I'll see that you get the information you need to join the Gideons. We also have a program now called Friends of Gideons. Maybe you don't want to become a Gideon, but you would like to be involved in the ministry. You'd like to pass out the word of God. Friends of Gideons can purchase testaments, and they can pass them out to people everywhere, family, friends. They can also go to various functions of the Gideons. And now I will talk about the financial situation. All the finances that are given to Gideons goes for printing and distributing the word of God. Now, if you look at this photograph, you'll see that it doesn't look like it's from Mexico. In fact, it isn't. It's from Somalia. And you know what these kids are doing? They're doing lessons on the ground. This is a school, so they're doing their lessons on this, in the dirt, because they don't have any money to buy paper. It's highly unlikely that they would ever be able to afford a copy of the Word of God. The only way that they would receive a copy of God's Word, if someone came there and gave them a testament. And I thank God that the Gideons came and they were able to give a testament to these young people. And the one young lady received a testament, and she took it home and shared it with her family. And you can see that this testament is quite worn. And there was a lot of people around the world that do not have a copy of the Word of God. There's thousands of people who don't have a copy of the Word of God. They don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take a look, you'll see that these boxes are empty, and they need to be filled, that we might be able to have people receive a copy of the Word of God. There are literally millions of people around the world that are just like the people at this school, that don't have a copy of the Word of God, can't afford a copy of the Word of God. But you and I can help these people through the Gideon ministry. And you know, if we provide a testament for someone, it's like it says in Matthew 6:20. It says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where either moth or rust can come and corrupt. God's word, Bible says, will not return unto him void. And the Word of God is powerful. It says if we have the Word of God available to people and they will receive the copy of the Word of God, God's Word produces life-changing results. And God's Word will prosper wherever it's sent. And if the Lord should lay upon your hearts to help the Gideons in any of the ways that I mentioned, I'm sure the Lord would richly bless you. People that receive a copy of God's Word, they would be eternally grateful to you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to come and share with you concerning the Gideon ministry.
All right, we are going to finish a little bit early today, but let's pray as we conclude. Lord God, we thank you for the work that the Gideons are doing. And Lord, especially we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living and active. Lord, we've felt the power of your word as you've brought it to bear on our lives. So we thank you, Lord, that there are people who are committed to taking your word to people who don't have it. Lord, we pray that you would be working through those gospels, through the Bibles that were left in various places, maybe years ago. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be working through your word, that there would be people who might pick up a gospel that was left maybe just out of boredom. But Lord, you can use your word in their lives. We thank you for the testimonies of the way that that's been done. And we pray, Lord, that you would still be at work. We thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your word. And we pray that you would help us to be used in whatever way we can, to bless others with your word as well. We praise you. Please be with us and help us to have hearts that are ready to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.